This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Do you think the Cowboys prospects for this season are just kind of boring? But in the meantime, I want to bring this up. This is from College Football's Reddit. Somebody has filed a lawsuit on behalf of themselves and Shedeur Sanders against the NFL.
For why?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I will read you the complaint. They would like a retraction of slanderous statements made about Shedeur Sanders, along with an apology for any harm caused to his reputation as he fell throughout the draft. They would like implementations of fairer practices in the drafting process to ensure the talented players are recognized and given opportunities based on merit. Furthermore,
Roger Federer practices.
They would like punitive damages in the amount of $100 million.
Of course.
For the harm caused to the plaintiff and the impact of the NFL's actions on his emotional well-being. And any additional remedies that the court deems appropriate, including compensatory damages.
So this is a person with this complaint on behalf of both of them.
Correct. Because they want the court to take appropriate action to address the intentional emotional distress and trauma suffered as a result of the NFL's collective practices and the harmful statements made regarding Shedeur Sanders and his fall in the draft.
This is the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. I mean, I've heard a lot of dumb things.
Sure.
Said a lot of dumb things.
Sure.
This doesn't... Shedeur didn't ask for this. All right, so just his name being attached to this in general is ridiculous. But, all right, man. Hey, look, man. Dumber things have gone through in courts.
Yeah, that actually is fair. Now, speaking of dumber things, I'm going to give Alec Medford a chance to address this individual first. We're about to play a few cuts from Andrew Brandt, and I'm not saying that I always, or excuse me, Kyle Brandt. I don't know why I said that. Kyle Brandt. And I'm not saying I agree with all of these things, but I do happen to agree with a bulk of what he's saying about just the Cowboys' upcoming season. But Alec, do you have thoughts about Kyle Brandt?
Yeah, I just think he's probably the biggest hypocrite in national football media because I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, he went on this epic rant that got thousands and thousands of retweets and Instagram posts and probably got played on this very station about how he's tired of the Cowboys getting forced into relevancy. The only time I ever see any of his content getting clicks is when he's talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
I could see that.
Years removed from that situation. So, Mr., I'm tired of the Cowboys. I don't want to talk about them. The only time he talks about them is whenever he's reacting live on air to you guys' conversations with Jerry Jones, with Stephen Jones. He gets his content from us about the Cowboys, but he hates it so much. Even though it gets him thousands of retweets, he can't stand it. And we're about to prove my point here. This is incredible timing.
It was a rant, that's for sure.
I am going to prove the point, Alec. I'm sorry for bringing this up. But I will say, in this instance, and I don't think it's particularly that much of a hot take, I kind of agree with a lot of what he's saying. So let's go to Kyle Brandt specifically. So we broke this up into three parts. Let's go to cut number 9, please.
They are by far the least interesting team in their division. By far. 4th out of 4. And I don't know if that's ever been true in my entire life. Even the Dave Campo era had more sizzle than this team does. Even smaller market teams right now are headlights and neon compared to America's team. The Titans are way more interesting. The Jaguars are way more interesting. The Dallas Cowboys coaching hire was not a bold choice. It was sensible. The Dallas Cowboys first-round draft pick was not a bold choice. It was practical. The not paying Micah storyline is a rerun of an episode we've seen 10 times from this team. The quarterback is the quarterback. He'll be very good, not great, say the right things and get paid, and we'll do it again next year. The most interesting thing that has happened in the last calendar year for the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't even think it's close, is the owner's breathtaking cameo in a television show called Landman.
All right. So, and this is the part, and I know people are going to get frustrated, and Alec, I don't disagree with the rest of what you're saying, but when it comes to this, I kind of think he's mostly right.
About
just the boring nature of the Cowboys heading into this season, depending on what you think. Like, I don't particularly think they're primed
nothing
to
splashy
compete
with the
in the playoffs or anything like
yeah,
that.
Nothing splashy.
I hope I'm wrong.
Nothing splashy happened with them. I don't think they're the fourth in intrigue in this division. I mean, I guess the Giants have intrigue because
yeah,
they're chaos. The Cowboys, however, did fall to third. Any interest in that division for sure.
Yeah.
Because Washington got a quarterback that everybody's excited about.
Yep.
They have ownership that people are excited about. Now they have the new stadium that they're so there's a lot going on there. And the freaking Eagles just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there. The draft for the Cowboys just had. Oh, yeah. I guess the draft in DC also. The draft the Cowboys just had. Nothing really truly splashy there.
Which doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think they made an excellent pick in Booker. I think that they made two really good picks in the second and third round as well. And we'll see about the rest of the draft from there. But I think the first three picks were picks that make your team good. Okay. I'm not going to say they make your team better, but they make your team good.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to what they can do. But again, nothing sexy about it, which is very weird for a Jerry Jones type team. The offseason free agency, nothing sexy about it. Although they added players that I think are going to be helpful to this team. So in the grand scheme of things, the Cowboys did what we've been begging them to do during the offseason, and that is stop caring about all the other things and just build a good, talented roster.
Because wouldn't you love for this team to bore everyone to death on their way to finishing 12-5 and actually doing something in the playoffs?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Eagles bored me last year, and then they won a Super Bowl, and I was like, dang, dude.
Now, he wasn't done, because here's the comparison. Go to cut number 10. Do you think the Cowboys are like this?
They are currently like the Tupperware of teams. Ooh, it's just something you have. You don't think about it. You don't care about it. You put the spaghetti in. You put it in the fridge. You have no attachment to it at all. It just serves a practical need of being one of the teams in the NFC East.
Good. Again, Jerry, don't respond to this. This is all I'm asking you. Don't go.
Unless you want to do it on our show.
You know what, guys?
Then call in right now.
You know what we need to go do? We need to make some trades right now. You know, don't get into this like he's bright. No, this is actually a fantastic offseason if you want to make a statement during the regular season. Because Kevin, I feel this way very strongly. There are seasons when we think the Cowboys are going to be very, very good.
Yes.
And then they turn out to be very, very bad. And there are seasons when we think they're going to be very, very bad. And they turn out to be good. And we're like, what the hell's happening with this team? And more than anything, I would like to stay neutral in the whole thing, but win football games. Now, do I think that they have the talent to do that this year? No, not yet. Do I think that they're building on the talent to do that in a couple of years? Yes, I do think that. But what he's trying to bait the Cowboys into that conversation of saying, hey, we got to do something sexy. Otherwise, we're going to lose intrigue. You're not going to lose intrigue from the rest of the country and from Cowboys fans.
Which is interesting.
Although you did lose some interest with the Cowboys fans because this year, it did seem like there was a little more combativeness to the
idea. They weren't
idea.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the 9-0-3, the goal is to not be the most interesting. The goal is to win games, and you can be boring if that's how it happens. Now, I got one more just for Alec. Let's go ahead and go to cut number 11, Kyle Brandt, finishing it up.
I think the Cowboys fans themselves are passing the time grumbling about number two receivers, cursing Jaden Daniels, hoping Jackson Dart isn't as good as he is, and praying that the Eagles are gentle this year because they weren't last year. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not feeling anything negative about the Cowboys. I just feel numb. I feel nothing. And I dare you to find me you feel anything at all.
Okay.
There are some parts in that I agree with as well, about all the griping about the number two receiver, because then there's a whole bunch of people, every time we bring up suggestions, they're like, who cares? Dak will never get him the ball.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And look, I agree. I hope Jaden Daniels isn't as good as he was last year. I hope Jackson Dart is not good. And I hope the Philadelphia Eagles fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
I agree with all of that.
I'm not hoping that the Eagles are gentle by any means. I do think that we are kind of stuck in this idea of, we hope the Cowboys, the people at the top, can make better decisions to drive this thing further, that they can motivate the players to be at an elite level, even though, like, again, I still don't think their talent level is elite right now. I think their talent level has a lot of work to do. And numb, I would like to be more passionate about this team right now. I would like to be more excited about this team. However, I think when you say numb, the idea that we've been excited about this team at times and then got it thrown back in our face that they aren't that good, we're kind of jaded.
Yeah.
We're to the point where we're kind of protective of ourselves as Cowboy fans, because we don't want them to let us down and have our hearts broken that way.
Now, if we have just a quick second, I wanted to throw this out there because maybe it gives you an opportunity for hope. The New York Islanders won the NHL draft lottery. All right. So you might not care about that, but consider this. Entering the day, the New York Islanders only had the 10th best odds of winning the NHL draft lottery. The reason why I bring that up is the Dallas Mavericks have the 11th best odds of winning the NBA draft lottery. So if the NHL can pick the 10th team, why can't the NBA pick the 11th team so we can get Cooper Flagg?
Is that who you really want?
Yes.
Look at this. Look at the way that this team is currently constructed.
We'll trade him for Kevin Durant.
No, probably. We don't
trust
have a clue.
In Nico.
Yeah, he's said, well, I think he said Miko there. I think trust in Miko is what he really meant to say.
Okay.
Does he fit on this team, the way it's currently constructed?
Yeah, I definitely think he does, because he's not like...
He's like a Najee role?
Yeah, and he'll be great on the wing. Like, I think he'll be phenomenal on the wing. I think he'll be a really good defender on the wing. I think he would fit perfectly on the team. Now, I understand the concern is then, like, who is running your offense? And I would not want that to be Cooper Flagg on a consistent basis. But as a player out on the wing, I would freaking love that. But also, I need to point out that in the history of the NBA draft lottery, the Mavericks have never moved up.
Yeah.
So...
Unless they traded to get Luka, because they were...
I strictly mean, yes, I strictly mean from the sense of moving up, like with the ping pong balls.
How do you get the ping? Do you weight the ping pong ball, or is it frozen? How do we do this one?
So with that, I know is the story that I remember, and the draft lottery is on Monday for the NBA. All I remember was the theory that I'd probably believe in is when they just used to pick the envelopes, that they froze the New York Knicks envelope. I don't know. I just said it differently. So they could get Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
So
freeze a ping pong ball or something. Maybe. How do we do this?
Isn't there a terrible John Travolta, Lisa Kudrow movie about rigging the ping pong lottery?
Or something like that.
Something like that.
I never saw it, but I heard about it.
It's not good.